Our scripture today comes from the middle of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:6, where he says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Hello, Christ Church, and all of our friends joining us today. I'm so glad you're with us for online worship. If you're on Facebook or the website, say hello to other people in the comment section. If you have a prayer request or a praise report, again, send them to us. We want to be praying for you. If you want to follow along with my outline, you can do that on the website or the Christ Church app. Welcome today as we are beginning a 4-week message series that I'm excited about called Blessed Homes. So let me get a little participation. How many of you would love to have a blessed home, your family, blessed? Post yes in the chat. Sure, we all would love to see our homes, our families blessed. But when you look at homes in general today, the first word that comes to your mind is not always blessed, right? When we look at so many homes today, rather than say, man, they are really blessed, more often we say, wow, they are really struggling. Their relationship is not what it could be, or raising the kids or those grandkids has been difficult, or financially, man, you know, we're kind of living paycheck to paycheck. Admittedly, there are a lot more temptations and distractions perhaps today than in the past. Internet access, social media, all kinds of new access and distractions. And there's the challenge of more blended families, which can be a blessing, but when you're raising your kids, my kids, our kids, and with both exes, it's complicated. And the struggles of adopting families are challenging too. And we see a record number of single parents today, which can be so difficult when you're trying to support a family on one income. And there's only one of you to carry the load. Many homes are struggling with complicated health issues, mental, physical, emotional health. And there are many adults who have the ongoing task of caring for aging parents, too. So there are a lot of challenges facing our homes today. And so what we're going to do is we're going to let Jesus' teaching from Matthew chapter 5 speak to us. In this series, we're going to see that Jesus' teaching about the Beatitudes can be applied to our homes. What Jesus taught 2,000 years ago is still as relevant as ever. Now, some of you might say, but I'm a student, or I'm single, or I don't have a family. Oh my gosh, this is the best time to prepare your heart for however God might bless you. I would have given anything to have learned stuff like this years and years ago. This series will speak to everyone. So today, let's look at Matthew chapter 5, again, verse 6, for the first of the Beatitudes that we're going to study. And this is what Jesus said. He said, "Blessed are those who," what? "Hunger and thirst for" what? "For righteousness, for they will be filled." When you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be filled. And yet, so many homes today are not filled with what matters most, but are searching and striving for anything that would bring meaning. Why is that? Because we're filling our lives with things that don't matter. And we're not as blessed as we could be because we're not hungering and thirsting for righteousness, for right living, for doing the right thing in a way that we live to please God. So, here's the question I want to ask all of you, and I want you to be really, really honest. Here's the question. In your home, what do you hunger for? In your life, in your home, in your family, what are you pursuing? What matters most to you? And some of you, with integrity, you could say, we are here to please God. And it's true. It's true. But some of you, you'd try to say with your Sunday school answer, we're here to please God. But if I asked your kids or your grandkids or your friends, they may say something entirely different. So let's make it easy. Let's just look at the last 7 days. In the last 7 days, what were you pursuing? What were you hungering for? And some of us might say things like, well, you know, we're just trying to relax, or we're just trying to have a good time, or we want to work hard during the week so that we can do whatever we want on the weekend, or we're just trying to get through, or we want to have fun, to chill, to unwind. Now, nothing wrong with that. That's one thing we can pursue. Some might say, you know, what we're hungering for is approval. You know, we want to be liked. And so we're kind of about image management, the way we dress, our home, our yard, the cars we drive. Look at the way we walk into church. Don't we look like the happy Christian family, the happy Christian couple? Now, don't tell anybody we were cussing and yelling in the car on the way here. I can't tell you how many times right before our family was supposed to drive to a church event, the enemy would stir up a fight between the girls or a tension between Kathy and I, and there we were heading to church, and if you could have driven up alongside us at a stoplight, it wouldn't have been pretty. Most of us don't qualify for the perfect church family award, but we're still managing our image, trying to look like it. What are you pursuing in your home? For some, it could be just the next whim. That's what you're pursuing. Whatever the next whim means to you, it might mean more money, a newer house, new toys, different friends. It might mean you want your elementary kid or grandkid to win the Student of the Month award, or maybe you want them to be a great sports athlete. Hey, our child, my nephew, our grandchild is the champion player in the 4 and under league. He is on the traveling team. What are you hungering and thirsting for in your home? And if you're like most people in our culture today, if you're really honest, you'd say, over the last 7 days, we were pursuing something or many things over God. We were not hungering and thirsting for righteousness. We were about other things. So what do we do when we realize we're hungering for the wrong things? What do we do when we have an appetite for things that do not satisfy and are not best for us? Here's a thought. You can change your appetite. Post change in the chat. For example, how many of you like pizza? I like pizza. I like all kinds of pizza. And there was a day that I didn't have to think about at all about how much pizza I would eat. Oh, to be young again. But over the years, I've realized that if I have too much of a good thing, it's not so good, including pizza. A few years ago, I did something called the Daniel fast. Remember Daniel in the Old Testament? He limited his diet to vegetables and water for 3 weeks, eliminated everything else. Well, I did that with fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and at the end of 21 days, I realized some things. My energy level was up. I had lost a few pounds. My blood pressure was down, and overall, I felt better. That had my attention. And so I thought, maybe I should try to eat like this more often because I like it. I feel good. But hey, life is short. Give me some pizza. And about halfway through the first piece of pepperoni, I thought, you know, this doesn't taste as good as it did a month ago. I don't know why. And then I realized my appetite had changed. I realized that what I had craved for had changed. As I fed on the stuff that was better for me, I stopped craving the junk food that wasn't as good for me. My appetite had significantly changed. Here's the thing. If you start pursuing God and you start seeking God, suddenly you're going to see the benefits of walking in the Spirit, being empowered by His presence. And suddenly you'll long for more of Him, and the junk food of this world, which distracted you, wasn't good for you, didn't satisfy you, isn't going to be at the top of your cravings, because now you've developed a new appetite. You're hungering and thirsting for righteousness, and you're filled and satisfied as you're serving and doing the will of God. Now, why doesn't this happen more in our homes? Why don't we see more homes that are blessed? Let me tell you what works and what doesn't work when it comes to building a home centered around Christ. And we'll start with what doesn't work. If you're taking notes, there are two things that do not work. The first thing is legalistic Christianity. What is legalistic Christianity? That's when we reduce our Christianity and our homes to a bunch of do's and don'ts, cans and cannots, shoulds and shouldn'ts, oughts and ought nots, don't do this, do that. We've got these rules. And whatever you do, kids, don't drink, don't smoke, don't chew, don't run with others who do. For the glory of God, that's what makes a good Christian. It's the rules. The problem is, and write this down, rules without relationship leads to rebellion. Legalistic Christianity never works. There are plenty of former church kids who rebel. The second thing that doesn't work, lukewarm Christianity. What's that? Well, that's when we believe in God, but we live as if He didn't exist. It's cultural Christianity. It's Christianity in name only, but no real passion for the things that bring glory to God. Now, how do we know if you're part of a lukewarm Christian home? And the answer is, I don't know. I can't judge your faith, but I'll tell you, for me, here's some of the indicators I might use to know if our home is becoming more lukewarm. For example, if I can't tell you the last time when we prayed together about something, not just sharing prayer at a meal, but coming together and believing God for a miracle, or praying for someone who doesn't know Christ, or asking God to lead us, to guide us about something. If I can't name the last time we've done that as a family in our home, chances are I'm allowing our home to become spiritually lukewarm. If I never say to my family, hey, today I was reading my Bible, God really spoke to me about this verse, or hey, today I was at the gym or at the store and I got to share my faith with this guy and it was amazing, or I was praying for something and look what God did. If I never say to my family, hey, God has blessed us so much, we're going to go and be a blessing to someone else by serving together to make a difference. If we're never doing any of those things, it's possible that we're becoming lukewarm. And honestly, legalism and lukewarm Christianity never work. So what does work? I want to give you a simple statement with profound meaning. It's just 12 words, but the second half is what I want us to focus on. Here it is. We're not just a Christian family. We are a Christ-centered home. We're not just a Christian family. What are we? We are a Christ-centered home. Post Christ in the chat. Unfortunately, in our part of the world, you can call yourself a Christian household, and that doesn't mean much, does it? About 80% or so of our country would say, yeah, you know, we're Christians. We're Christians, but are they Christ-centered homes? In many homes, you can't tell that people are Christ followers. Scripture doesn't say, blessed are those who believe Christ in name only, but instead, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. What are we pursuing in our homes? I love the way David explained this. I love his language in Psalm 63:1. O God, you are my God, and what? Earnestly I seek you. And what else? My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I love that imagery. It isn't just, hey, I want you when it's convenient for me or whenever I need you. No, it's every moment of every day. Every bit of me longs for you. We're not just a Christian family, we are a Christ-centered home. Here's an interpretation of that verse with the focus toward our homes. O God, you are our God. Earnestly we seek you. We thirst for you. Our whole family longs for you. There are all kinds of silly things we live for in place of God. A good image, the right toys, success in our field, approval of our peers. And we wonder why we're so empty. He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. So how do we do that? Here's what I would say about creating a Christ-centered home in this simple way. Help your family see God as loving, approachable, and involved. Very simple. We're going to help our family see God as loving. He loves you. He's approachable. You can go to Him for anything and everything. He wants you to come to Him, and He's involved in all that you do. Help your children, your grandchildren, your nieces or nephews know that God is accessible, that God is real. Let's talk about three ways to create hunger for God in your family. You can help cultivate a new appetite in your family, a hunger and thirst for God. What's one thing you can do? Involve God in your daily conversations. As you think about your everyday conversations, make room for God. When you see a beautiful sunrise or sunset, don't just say, wow. Say, wow, look at what God has blessed us with. In the midst of making decisions, rather than just asking, well, what should we do? How about saying, I wonder what God would want us to do? When you involve God in your daily conversations, you're reminding yourself, we're not just a Christian family, we are a Christ-centered home. Another way to create a hunger for God, make church a priority. If you're a Christ-centered home, guess what you do? You make worship of your God a priority. To take 1 hour a week to honor the creator and sustainer of this universe who sent his son Jesus to hear the proclamation of the word, because faith comes from hearing and hearing from the word of God. You say to your family, we're going to church. We're going to experience God there. And in the worship and in the prayers, the singing and in the conversations and in the fellowship with others, you do experience God. Your hunger and thirst is getting filled. One more idea. Show how seeking and serving God is fun. Post fun in the chat. I remember being surprised to find out that life as a Christ follower was fun. I was startled to discover that in college. And it was true in the church that I worked in after college. I found it true at seminary. There is a natural joy that's part of being a Christ follower. And we want it evidenced in our homes. My own parents, after their newfound faith in Christ through a marriage encounter retreat, my parents brought a new level of fun and joy to our family that still impacts us today. My dad's dry sense of humor and antics, my mom's love and laughter still grace our gatherings, even though my dad's been gone for 20 years now. If we're not having fun as a part of our life with Christ, we're not doing it right. As I wrap up, I love what Joshua said very simply. He said this in Joshua 24:15. He said, "Then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Here it is. You choose today. You choose this day. Are you going to be a Christian home in name only, blending in like the culture? Or are you going to be a Christ-centered home? You make the choice today, because blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled. You can create a hunger and thirst for righteousness in your home. The Lord will help you do it. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, gracious Master, loving Lord, as we come to you in prayer right now, may your Holy Spirit touch us and convict us and change us by your resurrection power. Lord, what are we hungering for in our household? Are we hungering and thirsting for you and your righteousness, or for something else? Speak truth to us, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit power. You're the one who can change our appetite. Come, Holy Spirit, and create within us a new hunger, a new thirst for righteousness, for God. We know what doesn't work: legalism, rules without relationship. That's why a relationship with you is key. And lukewarm Christianity, it blends in real well, but it lacks any depth or power. Lord, again, a Christ-centered relationship is key. Lord, help us to earnestly seek you in this dry and weary land where it seems there's no water. We know, Jesus, that you came as the living water, and you said your Spirit would well up within us to satisfy our weary souls. Come, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. Quench that hunger and thirst for righteousness. You are the one who fills us. In your mighty name, in Jesus' name we've prayed. And everyone said, amen, amen. Hey, if you want to visit with me about the message, I'd love to hear from you. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, again, send them to us. We want to be praying for you. And thank you for your generosity. Your ongoing gifts are helping us reach new people for Jesus and his kingdom. You can go online using the app or the website anytime. Be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities. Find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this: you can create a hunger and a thirst for righteousness in your home. For now, what one thing could you do to help it happen?
So I have this colorblind friend, mm-hmm. and he keeps insisting that apples are yellow.
Yellow.
And I'm like, dude, that's bananas.
good. On June 17th, we'll be raising money for missions and youth with a great morning of golf. The par 3 course of La Fortune is a great time. Sign up to play or be a hole or a lunch sponsor. 7:30 a.m. shotgun start.
This month, we'll take a trip to Broadway to see Stephen Sondheim's Into the Woods, starring the original stage cast, including the incomparable Bernadette Peters, combining great tunes with the stories of Little Red Riding Hood, Jack and the Beanstalk, Cinderella, and Rapunzel. It's fun for all ages.
The youth are having their annual basket auctioned. Theme baskets are donated by classes or individuals. Be as creative as you want. In the past, we've had baskets ranging from martial arts lessons to fishing gear. If you'd like to contribute a basket, contact Ethan. Bidding opens on Sunday the 7th. All of the proceeds go to help lower the cost of summer camps.
You can find all this information and more on our website, cumctulsa.com.